Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Starting in verse 9, the Word of God says, God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given unto us in Christ Jesus before time began. Before anything was created, because time was created on the first day, before anything was created, before the universe existed, before the earth existed, before people existed, before anything was created, God called us. Young people, God called you. Before He even made the world, He already knew you, and He called you with a holy calling. That means it's a divine calling, a calling from Him with a purpose from Him. And He called you according to His own purpose. That means that He had a reason for calling you. The fact that you were called, that means that God literally called you. He made you and then He said, hey you, whatever your name is. God is calling you. Say, hey you. And this is because He has a purpose for you, and it's by grace. It's not because you are perfect. No human being is perfect. It's not because you did these amazing things. No human being actually does amazing things. We may call them amazing, but really they're just what people do given certain circumstances. But He did call you. He chose you with purpose. That's what it means. He chose you with purpose. Now, the fact that you were chosen with purpose, that has some implications. First of all, there are three parts to being chosen. When you are chosen, God puts you somewhere. Right? If I choose to drink out of a cup, then I take the cup out of the cupboard and I put it on the counter and I fill it with whatever I want to drink. And then I put it in front of me. I put it somewhere. So the first part of your calling is going to be a place, a geographic place. Maybe you will be where you live now for the rest of your life. Maybe God's going to send you on the mission field somewhere. Who knows? It's God's plan, but He has a purpose and a desire and a will. And part of that is a place. Now, you don't have to worry about figuring that out. God brings you there. In other words, He arranges everything, including your circumstances and situations, to get you to where He wants you. So it's not like you have to sweat it out. Where does God want me? No, He'll take you where He wants you, when He wants you there. Don't worry about how to get there. The second part of it is there's a specific church. It's very important that each person finds the church that God calls them into. It may not be the church down the street. Why? Because this is where your portion of who Christ is, your expression of Christ, is going to do what it's supposed to do. You're called to a church. The third thing is you are called to a specific pastor. That pastor is the architect, the builder of your faith. That pastor builds your faith. He designs it. He builds it. He gives you a word from the Holy Spirit and the Bible. And He builds your faith. So you need all three parts. Those three things will be present in every call. If one of those things is not present, then it's not a call. Now the details of that vary from person to person. That's God's choice for each individual. But those three things will be present, whatever their details happen to be. Now, the fact that you are called is the result of something, and it means something. You were called in 1 Corinthians 7:23 because you were purchased with a price. In other words, You could have had your own way of doing things. You could just live for yourself. You could be all about you. You could have the universe revolving around you, which, by the way, is not a very satisfying place to be. The more your life is about you, the more miserable you get. It's kind of funny how that works, but it's true in every case. The more your life is about you, the more miserable you'll be. You could have it be like that, but you don't have to. God purchased your life. He purchased it. How did He purchase it? He purchased it in 1 Peter 1:19 by the blood of Christ. That means that you will always be forgiven from sin. That means that you will never have any guilt or fault put to your charge from God. That means that God will always see you as being perfect, because He purchased you with the very thing that cleans you, cleanses you, washes you from all sins. And sins, of course, are whatever is not of faith in Romans 14:23. If it's not faith, it's sin. That doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be flashy. It doesn't have to be weird. It's just, I believe God in all situations, and therefore in all situations, I operate in faith because I believe God. Simple as that. It's nothing funny. It's nothing weird. It's nothing flashy. It's the quietness of believing God, and that in itself is extremely powerful and effective in your life. Well, He purchased you with His blood. You belong to Him. He purchased you with His blood. Because He purchased you with His blood in Ephesians 1:6, He made us accepted in the beloved, of course, being Christ. He accepted us. There will never be a time when God rejects you. Why? Because He's already accepted you. And a person may say, well, what if I make mistakes? Will He still accept me? Yes, He will still accept you. Why? Because you're still purchased by the blood of Christ. You are still cleansed from all your sins by the blood of Christ. He has accepted you, and He can never reject you. In Isaiah 43:4, because you are called, you are also precious in His sight. When God sees you, He thinks precious. So no matter what happens, God will see you as precious. Other people may not see you as precious, even if your behavior isn't so precious. God will still see you as precious. Now, don't get me wrong. You can be precious and be a twit. But you're a precious twit. The fact that you're precious doesn't mean you can do whatever stupid thing. No, it means that even if you do whatever stupid thing, God still thinks you're precious. Whatever stupid thing can have bad results, though, so you don't want to go there. But you are always precious to Him. You are always accepted by Him. You're always beloved of Him. He's always going to accept you, and He's always going to see you as perfect and pure and wonderful, no matter what happens. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, because you have been called, you are also the body of Christ. His Spirit lives inside of you. That's why He says you're the body of Christ, because His Spirit lives inside of you. And it says you are members individually. That word individually is not really a very good translation. It means unique and special members with their own individual representation of who Christ is. In other words, there is a portion of Christ in you that nobody else can express. In the same way that my arm cannot be my leg, even if I walk on my hands, I can stand on my head, my arms will never be my legs. In that same manner, You are individually a unique portion of Christ. Nobody can take your portion of who Christ is. That's part of your call, to express, to show a portion of Christ that only you can show. The next thing that it means just to be called, that just by virtue of being called, not by virtue of anything else, just because you're called, in Philippians 4:19, God will supply all your needs. There is no need that God will not supply. God will always supply all of your needs. If you don't have it, you don't need it. Rest assured, you can be happy about it. I don't have this. Oh, I don't need it. Good. But if you need it, God will make sure you have it. We're sometimes funny. We think, well, it would be nice to have this. I would like to have it. Okay, that's fine. But do you need it? Well, no, I don't need it. Well, God will give you everything you need. He doesn't always say He'll give you everything you want. He always says He'll give you everything you need. Why? Because sometimes I want things that aren't necessarily the best things for me to have. I just don't know it. But if I need it, I will have it. And then in Romans 8:31, okay, we have God supplying our needs. We are unique members of His body. We have an expression of Him that nobody else can have. We're precious in His eyes. Our sins are completely forgiven us in 1 John 2:12. He made us accepted in the Beloved. He'll never reject us. We're loved by Him. We're bought with a price. Well, then in Romans 8:31, what are we going to say to these things? I'll tell you what we'll say. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for you, nobody can be against you. Oh, they may not like you. It doesn't make a hill of beans a difference. They can't stand against you. If they try to stand against you, God will get them out of the way. Nobody can be against you when God is for you. Nobody can be against you when God is for you. Nobody can do anything that will succeed against you when God is for you. You get into a situation, and somebody will say to you, and maybe it's a tough situation, and somebody says to you, well, how are you doing in this situation? Hey, I'm called. I'm fine. I'm called. I'm good. I'm called. How's that homework going? It's going great. I'm called. How's school going? It's going great. I'm called. How are your friends doing? How's that thing with your friend over there? It's good. I'm called. You had an argument with someone. It's good. I'm called. I'm fine. I'm called. Whatever it is, I'm called. I'm good. I'm called. Do you have any problems? No, I'm called. Do you have any needs? No, I don't need anything. I'm called. It's that simple. What about the bully at school? That guy's nothing to me. I'm called. There's nothing to worry about. You're called. You can be completely confident in all things. You're called. You don't have to worry about your future. You're called. You don't worry about the things you need. You're called. You don't worry about people. You're called. How's it going? Going great. I'm called. Really, that's the only answer anybody ever needs. I'm called. What would you like for dinner? I'm called. Well, what does that mean? That means I'm going to have dinner. That's what it means. You made a mistake. I'm called. I'm not worried about the mistake. You don't have any friends. You moved to a new place. I'm called. I'm not worried about friends. God will provide people for me in Isaiah 42. I'm called. Everything that I need, every provision that I need, every detail for my life is found in my call. I'm called. Now, this is a little bit early, I know. For some of you, it's really early. Well, for most of you, it's really early. But I'm going to say it anyway, because it's an important thing for people to realize. Young people, when you get to the point of considering where do I go to school or who should I marry or later on, is it okay to move somewhere for a job? The first question you want is, what does that do for my call? You can go to school wherever you want so long as it doesn't take you away from your call. The person you marry needs to share your call, because if they don't, one of you will leave your call. The place that you move for a job later in life, if you have to move, the question isn't, can I get a job there or can I get more money there? The question is, am I called there? Does God want me there? The fact that you can make money, for example, doesn't mean that's where God necessarily wants you. Money is not your call. God provides all of your needs. Money is never an issue. People will worry about it because they may think, well, I don't have any. Funny to me is how a Christian can end up with no money and still have everything they need. It's amazing how that works. The best example of this is my wife. One time when we were in a tight spot financially and she was praying for our needs. And she was walking in a parking lot. And she was saying, God, I don't have the money that I need. And she stopped for a minute and she looked down. Now, there was no good reason to stop. She just happened to stop for a moment and she just happened to look down and she was standing on a $20 bill. You know what that was? God is saying, what are you worried about? If I need to put money under your feet, I can do it. In heaven, you'll be walking on streets of gold. I can do the same thing for you here on earth. You have nothing to worry about. Why? You're called. If ever you are tempted to worry about anything, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it seems big or small. It doesn't matter if it's school or friends or other people or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Even if it's your health, whatever you may find yourself worried about, stop worrying and remind yourself, hey, I'm called. There's nothing for me to worry about. I am called. Guys, you've been called. It's a holy calling. You've been called. In Philippians 3:14, the Word of God says, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Upward means that it came from God. I press toward the call. There's a prize to be found in the call. There is a goal that I have to find that prize. The goal is threefold. Number one, the goal is to be conformed to the image of Christ, and that means I get the character of Christ developed in me. That's the first goal. The second goal is I have the fruit of the Holy Spirit developed in me. And the third goal is I win lost people to Christ. I tell people about Christ. Those are the three goals. Those are what brings me to the prize of the call of God. If I have those three things operating in my life, I become the greatest winner of eternity. It's simple as that. Every believer has the ability to become the greatest winner of eternity. The question is, will they continue in their call? You have a call, God brings you into it. Never quit. Never quit. You have a call, God will bring you into it. Never, ever quit. The only way to lose with God is to quit. If you don't quit, you cannot lose. Let me say that again. If you don't quit your call, you cannot lose. Whatever happens, just say, hey, I'm called, and you'll be good. Everybody understand? All right, that's it for today.